Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Our recent topic has been God's purpose. Now, previously we've talked about our purpose, but now we want to see things from God's perspective. And really, His perspective is our actual perspective. So when we are learning about what His purpose is, we are in fact learning about what our purpose is as well. This is going to take some time to change our mind, our thinking, our habits, our way of functioning here on this earth in this life that we've accepted as reality. This is only reality for your natural being. You're in the natural realm, but you are not a body. That's not who you are. It's the container that you are in for this time here on this earth. You are a spirit being that was born of God, of His very essence, of who He is, His character. You're unique and an individual, and yet part of Him. So we are learning, and the more we appreciate and experience this life as a teaching opportunity. God is not experimenting with you. You are experimenting with this life, with this reality. How does this work? How does the supernatural realm work? How does the natural realm work? As a spirit, how do I interact with it? How does my authority and responsibility pertain? How can I be effective as an eternal being, as a spirit being? How can I be effective here on this earth according to God's purpose? And this is not generally taught. This approach is not generally taught. There's been times throughout history where we have records that those who saw into this way of being with God were persecuted, sometimes to the fullest extent of persecution, by those in religious authority. Because we're coming up against the typical way of doing things, the solical way, the natural way. When we start saying that we are the force here on this earth, that God is raising us up to be His sons here on this earth, to have what we already have, but to enforce our responsibility and our authority, we get challenged by those who think differently, just because, in many ways, for a variety of reasons, but for many ways, because it first challenges their authority and threatens their livelihood and power, but also because it raises the fear level about deception. This whole idea of deception has been blown way out of proportion. And it goes back to the idea that if you are deceived, God's going to get you. God's going to let Satan get you. You're going to fall and backslide, and you're going to be tricked, and somehow that's going to have the consequences that are just, you know, the worst consequences in the world. So we'll have to get over that. The whole idea of deception is basically used as a wedge issue to keep you from exploring new ideas because you could be deceived, to keep you from knowing God personally because you could be deceived. And then you could be under the control or influence of the devil. In other words, the devil is more powerful than God. And that if you're deceived, you're joining with him willingly, so God can't help you. Well, that's silly too. To think that God has less authority over you than your will is ridiculous. This is a man-made concept. The whole concept where God is not going to violate your free will is silly. It's man-made. It was created to control you. It's not something, it's certainly not something, a concept from the scriptures. Certainly not something that anybody with a conscious awareness of who God is, that's not from him. To think that God is going to let us choose to step away with him when we have been changed to be his sons is ridiculous. And we look at the motive for that, but generally we don't even pay attention to it. When you feel manipulated, it's probably because you are being manipulated. When you're feeling like someone's trying to control you, odds are someone's trying to control you. Now, whether they are or not, whether they're doing it intentionally or not, that's another issue. The point is, recognize that. Is what you're being taught bringing you into greater dependence on God? Or is it trying to instill fear? Is it trying to instill a doubt of God, a questioning of God? This is that goes back to the whole notion of hearing God for yourself. So many, and myself, we've all been taught that, you know, there's safety in numbers, that you can't hear God for yourself. You need to have many elders. You need to have many, words from people who've been in, had experiences longer than you. There's safety in the church, in the group. That's where you're not going to be, led astray and get into weird doctrines or, be held accountable. These accountability groups. These are all ways of getting away from the responsibility of knowing God for yourself. And how to counter that? If someone doesn't understand, if someone has never heard God's voice for themselves, and I'm not talking about salvation, but if they've never heard God's voice in its simplicity. And by that I mean, there are times, we want to hear God for the big things. But think about that. We are deciding when we hear from God. God is always speaking to us. He's communicating with us 24/7, because remember, there's no time in the eternal realm. God created time for this earthly realm. So spirit to spirit, you are right now fully, you have all information about your life, about what God is doing. But there's a hindrance. There are hindrances between your spirit and your soul. And that's what he's addressing. That's what we're here for, is to remove those hindrances. And to think that by opening up to God, being vulnerable and accountable to God, is somehow going to lead us astray there's just the to, it's clear that people have not, those who are teaching that have not heard from him personally. Again, not talking about salvation, not talking about who's a Christian and who's not. Really, that's none of our business. But if what you're being taught doesn't bring you, doesn't teach you, doesn't show you, doesn't give you examples on how to depend on God, hear from him, receive your life, receive your needs met from God directly, then it's a distraction. Then it's a less than best. Now, God puts us in situations and groups and churches and whatever. He puts teachings and books and you know, movies, anything in our hands to teach us what we need to know. And we want to be open to that. We want to be able to receive his teaching, his guidance, his leadership in whatever form he chooses. Because when we have had our ears tuned to him, our senses tuned to him, we hear him. We hear that still small voice in whatever situation or circumstance we find ourselves. But we accept it. And we don't judge that, what we're hearing, by what others are teaching. We learn the simplicity of recognizing his voice. If you've heard his voice, you are, that's your standard. There's the two voices, the voice of the shepherd and the voice of the butcher. We have a boldness when we know his voice, because it's not about, well, what if I'm wrong? When you know his voice from experience, there's not even a fear of making a mistake. We're all in process. We're all on a unique path. There's times when God has to teach us how to deal with mistakes. How is he going to do that? By going with us through mistakes. By taking us into situations, setting up situations where we're going to make mistakes. Just as when a child is learning how to ride their bikes, do the parents say, no, you can't ride the bike because you'll probably fall? No, they take into account, and they even say, now you're probably going to fall the first few times, but we're just going to brush you off. I'm going to be there to make sure nothing gets broken. But you're going to get bruised. You're going to get hurt, but you're going to get back on, and we're going to keep trying until you learn how to ride the bike. And then you'll learn how to ride the bike. So we're not at all concerned about doing it right the first time, whatever it is. You're free to make mistakes, and you're free to get hurt. You just brush yourself off because you know where to go to get healed. You know your daddy's going to take care of you. He's right there. But to think that his goal is to keep you from getting hurt. No. Why do you need that armor? Why do you need that sword and the shield and the helmet and the foot protection, the sandals? Why do we need that? It's because we are in the battle. We ask God, you know, take care of this. God, intervene. God, pull down the strongholds. And God says, I've given you the sword. I've given you the weapons. The weapons of your warfare are mighty. Your warfare. Not getting God to do something. but you doing it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. God's not even in that sentence. It's you. The battle is yours. And there'll be times when you lose. But you will never lose. Because even that seeming loss, you learned from it. You learned how to go to God. You learned something, and that's what's most vital, is to see everything that's going on in your life as a learning opportunity. And what is the final goal of that learning? What is God's purpose? What is his intent? That you would be able to receive unconditionally what he gives unconditionally. His love, his acceptance, his joy in you. He wants you to know how proud he is of you. How special he thinks you are. And we have such a hard time receiving that. And he wants to change that. He wants you to be able to receive everything he has for you without filters, without hindrance, without hesitation. So God's purpose now is to do whatever's necessary in our lives that we would be able to receive everything he wants to give. So we've talked about some of the ways that he does that God gives himself, that he reveals himself, that he directs us, and that he consumes our flesh. And that finally God teaches us how to walk in freedom. Not freedom from the constraints of this natural realm. Okay, so far we are still constrained by, in our natural body, by the natural laws. But how to live according to spiritual reality and not solical or natural reality. You are a spirit being. Your reality is the spirit realm. We've got a long way to go. We certainly aren't there. And to say it's by faith, again, it's a cop-out. We're hiding behind words. We respect reality. Until you can walk through that door without opening it, your physical body is still constrained by this physical realm. Now, at some point in time, somebody will be able to do that. I have no doubt. And there have been occasions where people have seemingly achieved that level of receiving life. But for most of us, we're just not there yet. And I'm not sure that that's all that's cracked up to be. The whole point being, though, that we've got a long way to go. And to think that we're concerned at all about God concluding this age the way we think. You know, there's so many looking around saying it's the end of the age, it's the end of the world. You know, this everything is coming to the end. Now, certainly, this has happened, you know, probably every 30 years, probably every generation. There comes a time within the church body that things have never gotten worse, and it's the end of the world. And people have moved to other countries, have sold all their belongings, have committed suicide based on these erroneous beliefs. And throughout history, there have been times when the church in general, oh, it's so bad. Things have gotten so bad. The government is so oppressive. The natural elements are so bad. Whatever it is, they've concluded that God is going to wipe everything evil and everything off the face of the earth and whatever, and he's going to present the new heaven and the new earth. He's going to start over. Yet he doesn't. we try to force our beliefs on him. And as we can tell, he is under no obligation to abide by our beliefs, which is so great. I mean, I'd be really concerned if, for the variety of beliefs that are out there, having to live my life according to somebody else's beliefs. Wow, what a hindrance. You want to know what your own beliefs are, where they came from, and take them to God. Say, God, is this from you, or is this something that I just have inherited or suits my temperament or whatever? So when we talk about God's purpose, what hinders God's purpose, his now purpose, his purpose for you and I right now, today? What hinders God's purpose in our lives? Absolutely nothing. Right now, today, this minute, and last week, and tomorrow, God is having his purpose accomplished and fulfilled in your life. You are right on time, right on track. You haven't missed him. This is exactly what was supposed to have happened. So you can have that full confidence that whatever you're going through, he wants to talk to you about it. Don't run from him. He wants to talk to you about it. God will not let anything, our mind, our beliefs, our will, our wounds, our emotions, our beliefs, he will not let anything stand in his way. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, your will is not stronger than God. Who we truly are, spirit, has already given God permission to do whatever he wants to do. And you can't take it back. Right now, even if you're in what you consider to be absolutely horrendous circumstances without hope, and even if you consider yourself to be the one who got yourself into this situation, whatever it is, or if you're blaming someone else, stop. You're not a victim. This situation was crafted by God. Don't be thinking, well, I need to find the purpose and that will make everything all right. Just go to God. God, is there anything I need to be doing in this situation? Now, a lot of us figure, well, we can just do what we want in the natural realm or in the soulical realm. And then when we do get ourselves into these situations, we can just call on God and he's going to wave his magic wand and get us out of the situation. That we think if we do all the right things, then no matter what stupid decisions we make, he will bail us out. Well, that's not the lesson he teaches us, is it? We think if we do everything that our pastor tells us to, we attend church, we tithe, we give, we give to the point where we have lack. We tithe to the church before we pay our bills, which is ridiculous because it's not your money to give if you owe it to someone. But we figure then God's obligated to take care of us financially. That if we do what we're supposed to do, God has to do what we think he should. But God is not in any way, shape, or form obligated by our beliefs. Just because we believe he should act a certain way doesn't mean he even has to explain himself. So what that circumstance in your life may be is to simply reveal areas where you are believing lies. You may be thinking what I just said, that if you do everything you're supposed to do, God is obligated to take care of you. That's a lie. There are consequences to our natural choices. Sometimes God intervenes, sometimes he doesn't. And as a spirit being, we've already joined him in letting our natural and soulical selves make stupid choices. But to learn from them, most often he doesn't intervene. Being joined with God doesn't mean your life is going to be easy. Going from blessing to blessing to blessing. That if anything, at any time, if anything negative comes into your life, it must be from the devil. It's an attack. Or because there's sin in your life. No, God uses all circumstances in your life. And in order for you to learn how to depend on him, just as for you to learn how to get healed, you have to be wounded. For you to learn how strong he is, you have to be weak. He puts you in situations that you don't know how to control. We have distorted that whole concept that God will never put us into a situation that we can't handle. That's not even what the scripture says. And we don't use that as the final authority. But that's not even what the scripture says. It says we will not be tempted above what we are able to withstand. Not that we will not be put into a situation that we can't handle. Because God will often put us into situations that we can't handle. More often than not. Because he wants to show us that we can't handle it. And the more we try to handle it, thinking that, the stronger we make our flesh. And we strengthen the hindrances between our own soul and our own spirit. So this is why that initial habit is so important. Whatever situation you're in, God, is this you? God, what are your thoughts here? Do you have any comments here, God? Lord, is that you? When our first response to anything, any thought, any emotion, any circumstance, any change, any decision, is, God, what do you think? Doesn't matter what you say, what your script is, it's that turning that is crucial. Because that keeps you from turning to your own flesh, to your own strength, to your own weakness, to your own temperament. It keeps you from turning to your own beliefs. It keeps you from turning to a deception. Yes, the deceiver is a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's a tempter. But the point is to not be so confident that you can withstand the temptations, the deceptions, the accusers, the accusations. It's that the confidence comes from knowing how to turn to God. If you know how to turn to God, everything else just falls by the wayside. What a simple habit. Lord, is that you? Lord, what do you think here? Lord. Daddy, Abba, Father, Brother, God. What is this? Lord, do you have any thoughts here? What's going on? Lord, is that you? It's the turning that's important, not what you say. So you come up with what's comfortable for you. But that's what I want you to do this week as things change for you, for the better or for the worse. Lord, is that you? Lord, what's going on here? Pay attention to developing that habit. Turn to God first, last, and always. And everything else will line up. And most of the things will just fall to the ground because they were merely distractions anyway. But he will tell you and direct you and give you the information you need as you count on him. So we'll pick it up here next Monday and get together again tomorrow at 7:30. Thanks for joining us. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great week.